The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Very special edition. I don't know why I always say that. Of Stunt Granny Audio. It's number 208 on your compendium of Stunt Granny Audios. This is Eric, and Kevin is also on the line. What's going on, Kevin?
Not too much. Finished up watching some Iron Chef America.
And, yeah. Did you learn anything? You like to cook, so I'm not surprised to hear that. But do you learn anything when you watch those shows?
They did, the gig, and they've started this tradition maybe the last 5 years or so. They do like a special, all-star battle for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And it's kind of easy to, take some stuff for, their special ingredient, this past week was, leftovers.
Like that's awesome.
Corn on the cob and, like there's, not that they probably were actually eating out of it, but they had like pumpkin pies up there that were missing like a piece.
Oh, for God's sake.
So other stuff like that. In that situation, you can, like it's kind of everything that, stuff that you use.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little ridiculous. It's like, no, I'm not going to go buy like a side of cattle for myself.
Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody, what is Max's brother's cattle? Fuck. Well, let me look up his brother's cattle meat sale website here for a second. Just out of curiosity, where did your interest in cooking come from? I say that you have an interest in cooking based on seeing pictures of it or just you talking about it on the audios, just like things that you've cooked up. So maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but you do have an interest in cooking, right?
No. You're not jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
My mom cooked all the time for us. Like it was, it was a lot of that. There's actually a picture of me that my mom thinks it's embarrassing, but it's just kind of become a funny point. They used to, like, grow their own stuff in the backyard. Like, we had homemade pickles, and there's a picture of me making – we used to make our own tomato sauce because we grew tomatoes out there.
Oh, yeah.
And
we'd
can everything and, eat it as the year went along.
Oh, yeah.
So there's always a lot of cooking going on in the house. My mom ran a business, actually, too. We actually had a health inspector come in. That wasn't until high school. That was much later.
Oh, wow.
But Midge's Morsels was the name of it there.
Awesome.
So,
that's cool. I never knew that.
She makes the world's greatest pumpkin roll.
Yes.
And cheesecake. Those, to me, are her untouchable desserts.
Well, I know what I'm requesting at the next Stunt Granny potluck.
Yeah, no, my buddy has, my other roommate, Sean, here, has already ordered another pumpkin roll. Cheesecake is not easily obtained, even by yours truly. It takes some doing to get that done.
My mom makes fudge almost every Christmas. She hasn't made it for a couple of years, but she makes it with Velveeta cheese, and I can't even begin to describe how good it is, and it's the same way. It's in demand, and you either get some or somebody bites your hand off trying to get to it. I totally understand. By the way, if you ever do need to buy a half a cow or a quarter of a cow, you can go to facebook.com/goodeatmeat. And that is my bass player, Max's brother. He'll ship it all the way from Erling, Iowa, I'm sure. Yeah, Good Eat Meats. GoodEatMeats. Good Eat Meats.
Yeah, I just for the hell of it, I'll probably have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody in the Stunt Galaxy will be ordering hunks of cattle from my bass player and his brother in Erling, Iowa. I also somehow doubt that. Oh, man. Well, that's interesting. That's cool. I used to be a big Iron Chef fan when it was just like the Iron Chef from Japan. I feel like Food Network has gone through its phase in a way. Like 10 years ago, Food Network was all the rage, and right now it's HGTV. But I used to watch the shit out of some Iron Chef back in the day. Then they started doing the American thing, and that queef Alden Brown is the host. I can't stand that little dork.
Yeah, no, I knew that because I believe I brought it up before, and you've mentioned your disdain for him.
Oh,
and
my God.
I just because yeah, there are some parts that are just really bad. There are other parts that I can tune him out.
Yeah.
And I think he does an okay job when they're just doing the cooking, but when he's trying to do his own pontificating type stuff,
oh.
I just want to slap him.
Oh, he's the worst. God, and I don't. Man, no. Does anyone really want to hear his opinion that much? Like, I don't know.
He does have a good following on ye olde Twitter, and I will admit to being one of those persons.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know, in sound bites, maybe in 140 characters at a time I can see it, but otherwise, like, man, you know how much these guys get paid, by the way, for personal appearances? Like, say your locally owned grocery chain wanted to hold some sort of like health expo or food expo and they wanted an expert and they wanted somebody the level of like an Alden Brown to come. Do you have any idea how much money these people make?
A lot.
Like, it's like $25,000 to $50,000 a shot. I mean, if you're Paula Deen, you're probably pulling in $50,000 per appearance. Or more. Fuck, I don't know. Whatever it costs to feed her fat ass some Southern cinnamon rolls or whatever.
Yeah, no, I remember what was that? It was Billy Ray Cyrus was supposed to come to the park that I worked at.
Yeah.
Like way back when I was in high school. And it was the first time they asked him, it was before Achy Breaky Heart blew up.
Okay.
And it was going to be like $5,000 or something like that to get him to play. Cause he was still, you know, he was still like kind of, I guess, maybe known as an up and comer or something like that.
Yep.
So like he commanded some sort of money, but that song blew up like a month after they were going to schedule him, and his fee went up to like $25 or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Next time we're on the air, I'll have to remember to ask Max. He booked Taylor Swift to play at the shitty Bunny Hill-sized ski resort on the east side of Des Moines, Iowa, about 6 months before she blew up huge. She was only 15, and he got, like, an autographed picture. And, you know, she probably got, like, $2,000 or something like that, too. I'd love to find out exactly how much he paid her, because, seriously, 6 months later, she was the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens sometimes.
I know. Yeah, funny. Well, I'd pay $2,000 for a lot of things, but to see her in concert is not one of them.
Yeah, no, recently I wasn't even compelled to spend $50 on Machine Head and Death Clock. Like, I just couldn't really talk myself into that.
Yeah, I know. Shit, I can't even spend $20 on a tank of gas to drive to band practice anymore. That's my own shit. Well, I'll tell you what, I got a few quick hit things, if you don't mind me throwing them at you before we get into the meat of the show, which is the fact that Kevin attended Monday Night Raw last night in Columbus, Ohio. Do you want to do a couple of quick hits, unprepared?
Sure, why not?
Okay, these are softballs, though. Just saw an article on ProWrestling.net. Hall of Famer Steve Austin says he is medically able to wrestle, and he says CM Punk isn't the only wrestler he'd consider working with. The quote is, "It's not even about being cleared. I'm 100% fine. Once I had my fusion done in, hold on. Once I had my fusion done in 2000, I suck. I can't do. And I went into the recovery phase and then got back in the ring. Everything was fine and dandy. Passing the physical isn't the issue." And then he says, "Is CM Punk the only guy he would come back for?" He says, "I think John Cena would be a guy as well." So let's see. Would it just be CM Punk? No. Is CM Punk at the top of my list? Yes. In your opinion, and this is just an opinion, this is not based on any sort of factual information, do you think Austin will ever wrestle again? And do you think it'll be against Punk? Do you think it would be either this WrestleMania or next? And would that matchup be enough to get you to spend the money to go to the live show?
Okay. I guess last question first. Yes, if it occurred, it would probably talk me into attending that show. Like, unless, I don't know, do they have, they don't have the spots for the next WrestleMania.
But not that they've announced, right?
Okay. Yeah, like, maybe if it was something kind of ridiculous, like this coming year. I'm sorry, like, you just can't talk me into that weather.
No.
You know, hell, I've no. gone to enough football games. I don't want to watch wrestling in that kind of weather. Like, it's not going to be enjoyable. Like, I remember when we were down in Orlando, we were way further south, and it was not all that friendly.
It was spitting rain and kind of chilly. We brought ponchos. I also weighed 60 pounds more than I do right now, and I was still cold.
Well, see, and I guess that's it. I don't know why I'm maybe overqualifying the question on that end, really.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, no, nine places out of ten that they're going to have WrestleMania, I'm probably going to be able to talk myself into that if Punk and Austin are, I wouldn't even care if they're the main event. Like, if they're a match, I would be just happy. But there's no way Austin isn't the main event. And they can't really, and to me, they don't really, they can't do Punk or Rock and Austin on the same WrestleMania unless they really want to try to blow the buy rate up something fierce.
Yeah. Yep.
I would think that they might have Austin this next one and then, like, do both of them at the one after that or something like that. Like, just really milk it out.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is the one thing that they've done fairly smartly with the Rock there.
Yes.
You know, they're saving them for the big ones, and I think that's a pretty pretty smart move.
It is. It really is. That's always been a big draw for it's been a big draw for WrestleMania the last, like, 10 years. So if they had the match and if I could do a lot of talking my way into it, I would absolutely go to see that match. I would spend the money for it. It'd be worth it. Plus, I have the feeling that you guys would all be there, so we'd have some fun. So I'm all for it. I hope it happens. Honestly, like, you know, here he is in an interview talking about how he could do it after years of so-called experts saying that he'll never do it because he'll fall apart. You know, in a stiff breeze, he would break in half. Well, even he's saying that he wouldn't do that, so I'm going to say let's hold our breath. Let's hold our collective breath. I think that's a smart idea. I think it'll happen someday. I think he'll do it when it's right to make some huge money, and it's going to be awesome when it happens. So,
just them talking will be worth the price of admission.
Yep, definitely. Okay, that's that. Let's see. Today is the 7th anniversary of the passing of Eddie Guerrero. I was going to see, Kevin, if you have off the top of your head any favorite memory of Eddie Guerrero.
I'm trying to think of something. Like, I mean, everyone or a lot of people have mentioned him and Voldemort hugging in the ring at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I guess this is before I really started to watch ECW, but, I mean, I just remember being a fan of his from as soon as I saw him in WCW on, like, no matter what kind of ended up happening with him.
Yeah.
Whether he was big guy before car accident, after car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always kind of caught my interest. And that whole, and I mean, that's the, that was part of the reason, like, even when Raw kind of started to be better, I've always kind of missed that style of wrestling.
Yeah.
Especially amongst that that group with Dean Malenko and all those other guys from the group that came over, really, and some others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a generic thing. I'll always remember him for that. Like, I was in on him as soon as I saw him. That was he was always really fun as far as I was concerned.
Nice. Yep. I remember the first time I saw him, and I had I had read the name Guerrero in all of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated type of magazines, but didn't really know anything about them. And the first time I saw Eddie was the pay-per-view is called IWC AAA Lucha Libre When Worlds Collide, November 1994. And he and, God, Art Barr. Was it Art Barr? God, this sucks. Now I can't believe it. I'm getting their names wrong. IWC AAA Eddie Guerrero. And I'm pretty sure it was Art Barr. Love Machine Art Barr, yeah. Sorry, I was just flaking on his first name because his dad was a promoter in Oregon. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, my God, Art is an old man's name. I wonder if that was his dad. No, those two played and a couple of heels that were, you know, Eddie played up the fact that he was from El Paso as opposed to being of Mexican heritage. And, of course, Art Barr was, like, ultra-American, and they wore red, white, and blue tights to the ring. And they laid in the aisleway and pretended to backstroke their way across the border. And they almost incited a riot at the L.A. Sports Arena in front of 17,000 Mexicans at this pay-per-view. And I just knew at that moment, I'm like, this guy is fucking incredible. And from there, he came to WCW as a babyface, and then he turned heel and did some of his best in-ring work. I skipped the part where he went to ECW, too. Of course, he had his, you know, big feud with Dean Malenko, but it was that pay-per-view in November of 94. I was like, holy shit, this guy's incredible. He can get heat from a crowd of his own peers, and just people just hated him, and his work was great. So anyway, from that point on, actually I taped that pay-per-view onto a VHS the night of the show, and then in high school I brought it to all of my Spanish classes, and my teachers would always show it during class because it's part of the culture, you know. Lucha Libre, obviously, it's huge, so we would watch the midget match and the mask versus hair match. And anyway, so I thought that was kind of funny. I used to bring that tape to Spanish class.
Yeah, no, I think I got to watch the three, was it the Three Stooges in German?
Oh, my God, seriously?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
That's awesome. God. All right, so there's a couple Eddie Guerrero memories. Okay, I got one more piece of quick news for you. And you actually pointed this out to me earlier today, so I'm going to turn it around on you. And only because we're fighting to get some sort of TNA news in this show, AJ Styles has signed a publishing deal to write an autobiography because a guy who spent 10 years in the same Hillbilly Wrestling Federation has a lot to talk about. The quote from the press release says, Styles is a devoted Christian and has stated on many occasions that it's God first and family second. And by the way, coming from a publishing company, they used the wrong it. This autobiography will have his fans gasping for more as they will be able to appreciate Styles' life from his severe beginnings, which to me is just a strange word, term to use in that case, severe, to his TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Wank, wank, wank. What about you, Kevin? Are you going to buy it on paperback when it comes out in 3 years for
$1.98? No. Like, yeah. Like that. That's why I sent it to you. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing. Like, there is, like, I don't have any interest in buying his book. Like, I don't care what his story is. Like, he's...
Right.
I mean, you'd really have to talk me in. Like, the only thing that I've read like that, and then I'm, well, actually, sort of currently reading. I'm kind of reading The Hobbit right now to get that
okay.
in before the movie comes out. Well, another time. But, anywho. I'm reading a biography on Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, cool.
So, and it's not the first time that I've read something about him. But, like, you know, it's got to be kind of that for me to, because I think the only wrestler one that I've gotten is Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah.
And probably just because it was...
It's one of the few that's worth it, so yeah, you're right.
I mean, it wasn't it I mean, that was the first really big one from what I remember.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just been like, man, no, I don't have the time to read all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, to put AJ in there is just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, if I'm not against some of these other people that have come out with books. Because I'm trying to think, and I'm not doing a good job of thinking of someone off the top of my head to say who has come out with another one. Oh, Jericho.
Okay, yeah.
Like, easily, like, I would put Jericho's way ahead of AJ Styles without knowing,
Jericho's
without even remembering,
book.
Huh?
Are you talking about you would put Jericho's third yet-to-be-released book ahead of AJ Styles as something that you would purchase?
If Jericho has a third one coming out, yeah, no, I would definitely put that on there before.
Nice. Yeah, Ed Jericho has more to say from the last 18 months of his life than AJ Styles has to say for the entirety of his existence. He has not had that story of a life or a career seriously. Like, I mean, Christ, how do you spend your entire, almost basically your entire professional career, save for a couple of matches on Monday Nitro that amounted to nothing, in fucking TNA, the lowest of the low rent that ever made it to basic cable, and think that you have an important enough story? Or I'll throw it back on the publishing company. How do they look this guy up and down and say, you're the one we want to publish a biography of? Jesus Christ. Even fucking Bubba Ray Dudley. Like, I'd much rather read Bubba Ray's memoir someday. And he's not a main eventer, you know. But Christ, you know he's 1,000 times more interesting. That's it. Someday, I want, if I ever meet him, I want to put that to him. I want to, listen, buddy, I guarantee you one sale. If you ever write an autobiography, it will be on my shelf. AJ Styles, take a walk. anyway, dude, sorry, I picked that up from Iron Sheik.
I can't even follow that one up.
I was reading Iron Sheik's Twitter page the other day, and I forgot that that's one way he insults people is to tell them to take a walk. So I had to use that one for Sheiky.
There is nothing that interests me about that.
No, not at all. In fact, I've got something even more literary in mind, if you want to jump to this one here real quick. Did you get all the list of nouns, verbs, and adjectives that I'm about to ask you for?
No, you didn't. Did you email them to me or something?
I just now shot them over on Instant Messenger.
Oh.
So,
okay.
No big deal. We can do these on the fly, but I wanted to give you just a little bit of a heads up. What I decided to do in honor of Kevin going to Monday Night Raw last night in Columbus, Ohio, I thought I would take the idea of the WWE Mad Libs and turn them around on Kevin and actually ask him for the nouns and verbs. And we're going to fill in a story here. So I just wanted to give you a little preemptive of what all the words are. So I'm ready when you are.
No, I have not looked at the preemptive because I was I'm watching Raw now as I look through pictures that my girlfriend took way too many of.
Yikes! Okay, I'll leave you to those here in about a half an hour. But let's go.
Yeah,
through these.
I'm
going
to have to edit these down before
yeah.
I put them on Stunt Granny.
Yeah, nice. All right. I'm going to ask you for the part of speech, and I'm going to have you deliver here. So off the cuff, give me an event, just any sort of event. It could be a daily occurrence. It could be an annual thing. Just give me an event.
An event? Well, it's on my mind. Thank Miss.
What is it?
It's the cross between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's what my family celebrates at the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Do you call it Thankmas or Thanksmas?
Thankmas.
Okay.
Thank,
okay.
M-A-S.
Got it. Okay. I need a noun.
A noun? Carpet.
Carpet. All right. Interesting. Let's see. Oh, hold on one second. I have to fill that in here, too. Okay. I need a verb, an action word. Something somebody
crank.
Did. Say it again.
Crank.
Crank?
Crank. Like cranking a car? Or...
Yes, crank. Okay, just making sure, because sometimes I use that as a noun. So, okay, I need another verb.
Walk,
okay. And I need one more verb, any sort of action word, something somebody does.
Slide.
Slide, okay. And I need to make that past tense. There we go. Okay. Let me read. Okay, give me the name of a WWE wrestler.
CM Punk.
Okay. I need from you another noun.
Another noun?
Yes.
Ball.
Ball? Okay.
Yeah, B-A-L-L, ball.
Perfect. I need an adjective. I need a word that describes a noun.
Stinky.
Stinky. Well, there you go. All right. Whoops. I need to plug in a word right here. And I need a verb. An action word.
Every time you keep on saying action, I keep on thinking of, you know, some person doing something.
Right.
Like something physical rather than like, let's say typing.
Okay. Is that the word you want to use, type?
Yeah, type.
Okay. Let's get one more noun.
Duvet.
Duvet?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know how funny this is going to be, but we'll see. Oh, my God, you guys, I'm so excited. I went to my very first WWE Thankmas last night. I stayed up all night working on a carpet to bring to the show, and every time I waved my carpet in the air, the people around me went crazy. They cranked and walked and slid every time. I also drank so much soda I had to pee 3 times before the show, and I bumped into CM Punk in the bathroom. I couldn't believe it when he asked me, "Hey, kid, if I give you an autograph, will you hold my ball?" Of course I said yes. It was so stinky that I couldn't say no. By the end of the night, I'd been cheering so loudly and waving my carpet that John Cena pulled me out of the crowd and typed me for all of my hard work. I know next time WWE duvets go on sale, I'll be the first in line.
God. Wow, I guess I'm going to get a John Cena duvet.
I guess you are. Of all the fucking guys to have a duvet, I'll bet it'll be him, too.
Yeah, no, that's not fun.
Yeah, no, not the least bit. Oh, Lordy. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this WWE Thankmas that you waved your duvet at or your carpet. So just talk about the crowd. You know, I seem to ask a lot of the same questions, but was it a full building? Was it a wild crowd? Talk to me about all that.
It seemed quite loud in there. Although I think I noticed that, too, when I came down when I went to SmackDown earlier this year, I sat on the floor, and it seems much louder on the floor than it does up higher.
Okay.
To me, like both times, because there was a time, like right there at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I honestly could not hear Vicky Guerrero.
Cool.
When she was in the ring, like it was, there were that many boos that her voice wasn't going over the boos.
Nice.
So, I mean, I think part of it was her being quiet, because during the same segment, I could hear AJ just fine. So,
okay.
And I'm not even comparing, because I think, was Ziggler down there, too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and I could hear him fine, too.
Yeah. But not Vicky, because she's the most over heel in the company, which JR actually pointed out in his either Twitter feed or blog. It's like, come on, man, you might want to step up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think you might have to put CM Punk in that top category.
Well,
but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'll put Vicky number two. I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's cool. So,
but,
good crowd, live crowd, loud building.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it was any more than 10,000. Because they still have large chunks of the upper area tarped off. Although I think they had them across. It was either just above us, because we were, you could see my sign several times in the crowd.
Yes, nice. That's so huge. Stunt Granny live and up front.
Of course, I don't think it did us any good whatsoever.
I think there are a lot of things that don't do us any good. But
yeah, no, it seemed like a pretty good crowd. It hasn't really changed, like, size-wise all that much, honestly.
Okay.
It's been pretty consistent in this area. Like, I don't think SmackDown was any more or less crowded. It did seem a little more vocal than the last time around, than SmackDown, I would say.
I think that's, I don't want to use the word, like, given or anything, but I guess I'm not surprised to hear that. I mean, honestly, like, you know, having been to both now, there's just kind of, what do I want to say? I think there's just kind of an attitude you come in with for a Monday Night Raw, and there's kind of a lackadaisical sort of, you know, laid-back mentality to SmackDown. It's like, you know, it's not live. You know, you're going to see it again in 3 days, so you don't have to get as rowdy.
Yep. Oh, okay. I was wondering about this part. I wasn't sure how much they played up Ricardo talking to Rosa Mendez.
Yeah, I saw that they're passing notes. God. Hey, that reminds me, actually. Let's start from the top of the show.
Okay.
I can just imagine your reaction to Dolph Ziggler losing in 3 minutes. What did you think of that?
That was just ridiculous. Like, I just don't JR talking about people stepping up. I mean, I think Ziggler's done as good as a job as he could while having Vicky around. Like, and he's really kind of taken control of the promos for the most part between the pair of them.
Yeah.
But when you have stuff like that happen, it doesn't help help you out at all.
No. God, no.
You know, I don't care. Like, have... especially since you're transitioning into a tag match,
mm-hmm.
Why not? Every other time that happens, there's some screwball finish, like, you know, the heel has a friend interfere, or the heel that's taking on the babyface in the longer-term feud costs
mm-hmm.
them the match somehow. They're like, nope, screw it. Everyone's fighting. We're going to get the tag team. Just do the standard. Like, I can't, of all the times that I'm asking them to do the standard thing that they normally do.
Where the GM just kind of makes a tag match out of the four assholes that are in the ring.
Yeah. Just like, just do something like that. There are so many other things on the show that they did normal that it's just like, ah, Christ, it's the normal thing again.
Yeah.
But that one wasn't the normal thing, and it was the worst time to not do the normal thing.
They've got to, like, maybe this is just going to be a challenge. Like, how many different ways can we get to a tag team match to open the show? So, of course, what they do last night but have Dolph Ziggler lose in 3 minutes to a guy who's had, like, half-hour matches with fucking Justin Gabriel, or I don't know. Just stupid.
Yeah, so that was just that was a little annoying, to say the least.
I could imagine it was from your standpoint. And then, of all things, so after the two matches that opened the show, Dolph Ziggler actually gets some mic time. I'm sure you enjoyed that. You just mentioned, actually, that you think Dolph is kind of taking the ball with the promos.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're letting him do most of the talking for them. I mean, Vicky obviously has to do some, but she's been even more limited around him now that she's been the GM. It's like they're kind of just more meeting up like a real kind of a manager thing.
Yeah.
Like just talking it over every now and again, and she's not beside him at all times. So it's, I don't know. I don't know what else you can really ask for out of him.
Yes.
Honestly, the guy keeps on the guy's been delivering good matches. I mean, it's been years at this point that he's been delivering great matches. So it's just kind of like, I don't get it. Like, I mean, it's been 2 or 3 years, I think, at this point.
Yes, it really has.
So it's just like, really, like, that's one where it's just like, oh, these guys need to step up. And it's like, I don't see what else he can do to warrant at least a chance.
In Vince McMahon's eyes, he could probably put on about 15 pounds of muscle. And in my eyes, he could change his name. I'm still not quite over his name yet.
Oh.
But you're right. I mean, he's got everything. So at some point, he's just got to break through the glass ceiling.
Yeah, and I mean, I would guess that they're going to do that at some point, considering that he has the Money in the Bank briefcase still.
Yep, that'll help. That'll help him out. That'll maybe put him over the edge. Of course, it didn't quite work for Dolph Ziggler, but anyway. It didn't work for Jack Swagger. Yeah, thank you. It's funny. It's sad that you knew who I meant. I got the name wrong, and it's sad that you knew exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, I heard what you said, but I knew what you meant.
Yep.
Nice.
How did the Vicky and AJ talking segment get over with you live and in person?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just, it's another one of those ones where it just, and I compared it, I think, last week, or maybe I didn't, to the AJ Styles stuff with Claire.
Yep.
I mean, it's, like, basically the same exact thing. And I still don't care. Like, WWE isn't really playing it any different. It's like, okay, if anyone believes this this stuff, this video footage and everything else that she's putting together, they're a bunch of dumbasses.
Right.
Like, the WWE board has got to be just the dumbest compilation of people out there.
Yeah.
They are certainly not the Illuminati. They will never, ever be a part of it.
Yeah, God.
So, yeah, it's just like, you could tell, like, who would talk like that? Like, the calls that AJ made was a line and then a pause.
Yeah.
And then a line. Like, if you heard Cena responding or something like that, like, even if Vicky had faked it that much to put it in someone else's voice.
Right.
it would have helped. Like, you still could have told that, you know, she's piecing it together.
Yeah.
Oh, they did not get that well enough.
I'm trying to find
when when Titus O'Neil tossed Justin Gabriel outside.
Oh, dude, yeah.
They got a terrible shot of it here on camera, unless they show a replay of him getting tossed.
They show a replay from it outside the ring, actually.
Okay.
They show it during the match from inside. I actually thought it was kind of badass, but I think the replay is from outside the ring.
Okay. Anywho, what was I saying? Yeah. It's just like there has been nothing about this that has been remotely convincing. Like, I even actually think that all those guys, Daniels and Kazarian, did a better job of selling AJ's guilt than anything that Vicky Guerrero has presented in 3 weeks.
That's sad. That's just sad to think about, too, considering how good Vicky Guerrero is. Like, nobody comes out of this a winner. Not AJ, not the asexual John Cena, who apparently has no penis. For every woman that even looks at him twice on TV, he's just still the aw shucks fucking asexual dipshit. And
yeah,
this
is
the most over heel in the company besides CM Punk looks like shit because she's stuck in this and can't get it over.
Yeah. I just don't see any real upside to this. It's just, you know, it is the state of the WWE right now, though.
Yeah, it is.
I should not be surprised.
Right. Well. I don't know. Speaking of the state of WWE right now, I could probably skip over the next two things that happened on the show. Big Show squashed William Regal in an effort to promote his match against Sheamus, or his feud with Sheamus, because Sheamus and Regal are buddies now. And then Layla beats Caitlyn. No, Caitlyn beats Layla. Whatever. So now Caitlyn, a fucking nobody, gets a Survivor Series women's match. Let's just go ahead and skip those, because really, who gives a fly? But,
Yeah, no, I mean, they clearly don't. Like, I look down to, like, I think that's about, I'm an hour or so in. So, yeah, no, I was paying a good bit of attention to my phone with the Steelers game going on.
Yeah. let's see, the next thing.
So,
though,
yeah, I look down, I'm like, what, the match is over? Yup, it's a women's match.
Right, yep, we don't care. Let's see, next thing on the show, though, was Jerry Lawler's return. He cut a promo. Of course, CM Punk cut him off, disrespected him, blah, 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 champ for 358 days. Paul Heyman fakes a heart attack. Mick Foley comes out of nowhere, sticks up for Jerry Lawler. They go back and forth verbally. I thought it was a great exchange, and I'm not the biggest Mick Foley fan these days. I thought this was honestly his best promo since before he retired in 2000. I can't think of a good promo he's had since. I just thought I'd see how, I mean, these are some of the most over characters in wrestling. I thought I'd see how that came across live and in person.
Everyone around me, like, it was kind of funny to have some, like, long-term rubes in there that were younger than me. But certainly, they've at least got to be pushing 30 with, you know, because they were talking about some of the Nitro stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, they've got to at least be a little bit older. They definitely drove themselves there and all that good stuff. Like, they didn't watch this stuff on DVD or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it was, it's always hilarious sitting next to long-term rubes. And they were really pissed at CM Punk for interrupting him. And they were two male gentlemen that, again, I'm, you know, kind of guesstimating their age there, but very pro Cena, which which was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, for rubes.
Yeah, it was really strange. I was like, wow, you guys are quite a combination here.
Funny.
Well, so yeah, no, I mean, everyone was hating it. I mean, we kind of did a minor talk about it there this morning, and I mean, I guess I kind of forgot how good it was in a way, because it did not. I just saw it coming a mile away. I guess aside from the Mick Foley thing, that was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
And the first thing that ran through my head is I was like, wow, he really could have sold a couple more tickets at Woodlands, but everyone here, like when he was doing his comedy gig.
Right.
He really got a good pop coming out. And, because I mentioned the other – I liked his other trying to talk Punk into fighting John Cena. For Hell in a Cell, because I thought that was a good one.
It was good, yeah. I'm just so jaded from all of his self-serving fucking interviews, and everything is all about me. And just, I don't know, I feel like he just faked his passion up until this point. Like, it's just been him trying to act like he's super excited, but for some reason, like, I just got this feeling that he had something to latch onto, which was, Why do you have no respect for Jerry the King Lawler? He's a legend, and he had a serious, you know, medical blah blah blah. And I feel like he took that and ran with it, as opposed to just showing up and like just kind of shouting into the microphone while all the while he's thinking about the fucking stand-up comedy show he's got to go do for the great interviewer he's got to promote how awesome he is, and he's going to mow lawns for charity. So anyway, that was my take on it. Here's where I'm going to interrupt the flow of things.
Like I said, it was just kind of weird. Like, I guess I was trying to do some other stuff too, so like you know, I think that kind of hurt the quality of my viewing.
Okay. Gotcha.
Despite the outstanding seats, really.
Yeah. Those were outstanding seats. My God. I haven't had a sign on a wrestling show since 97. Well, no. My Batista sign got on, I think, maybe in 04. Batista. That's classic. Oh, my God. Okay, so like I said, here's where I'm going to break up the flow of
interruption.
I've got a match game question here for you based on the segment that we were just talking about. Who's ready to play match game? Year are we?
I think I am.
All right, here we go. So, last night, Monday Night Raw, Jerry the King Lawler returned as Raw color commentator after his almost deadly heart attack 2 months ago. Upon hearing this, the always devilish Paul Heyman decided, hey, I'll have a blank. Jerry the King Lawler returned last night as the Raw color commentator from his almost deadly heart attack 2 months ago. Upon hearing this, the always devilish Paul Heyman decided, hey, I'll have a blank. What do you think, Kevin? What do you think Paul Heyman decided after Jerry Lawler returns from a heart attack? Paul Heyman says, I'll have a blank.
I'm going to go with something that would probably give him a heart attack. He can go ahead and have a Red Bull.
I was actually thinking, hey, I'll have a double quarter pounder with cheese, extra large fries, Cherry's Jubilee, large Jamocha shake, and can I get a half diet and half cherry Coke? Thanks. No offense to Paul Heyman, but... he's kind of a fat shit these days.
Yes, he is.
Let's hit a couple other high points on the show here. So that was all followed up with an 8-man tag, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, Tyson Kidd, and Justin Gabriel, the high flyers of the company, against Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Primo, and Epico. What'd you think, man? I mean, this is 8-man tag team action. This is action-packed. This is high-flying. It's 10 minutes. What'd you think?
Kind of going back to the Eddie Guerrero stuff, this is, I'm not saying it's that high quality. But this is about the only taste you're going to get of that stuff. And I do, it is impressive. Like, it's kind of fun having Titus O'Neil in there because he is, he can just toss those guys around.
Yeah. Yeah, to have a monster in there against a bunch of guys who weigh about 187 pounds, it's a nice touch. It's a nice little contrast, if you will.
Yep. And that's part of the problem. It's another one that I keep on harping on. This knucklehead here, Brad Maddox, gets all this TV time. And we're still not any closer to knowing anything about any of those four teams, despite the fact that they continue to get airtime.
Right.
Both on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
But they're not giving them anything to work with. Like, there isn't anything of a longer-term feud for any of the tag teams. It's just like, okay, you're going to wrestle this team this week, and you'll probably wrestle the other team the week after that.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right about that. I've said for the last 3 years probably, in the hopes that tag team wrestling would kind of make a comeback, that if nothing else, it's good filler for a long TV show when Raw was 2 hours. Now that it's 3 hours, it's borderline necessity, and I like what they're doing with it, and I like the fact that they've got about 6 or 7 teams. That's nice. I agree with you on it doesn't look like they've got anything long-term, and just as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, tag team wrestling in WWF was at its height in the late 80s and early 90s. They had like 10 legitimate tag teams to choose from, great long-term feuds, and then it all just died out with the fucking smoking guns and the body Donnas. And the new rockers of Al Snow and Marty Jannetty. But then in 99, it started to come back, and I recall the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian, who kind of had a whole bunch of nothing going on, ended up in a best-of-five series with the winner of the series getting the managerial services of Terry Runnels. And at the time, it was kind of like, oh, they're giving them a bone. And in a way, it was almost like the tag team tournament they just had for the number one contenders for the belt. And it sort of paid off in the end. We got a good match out of Kane, Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, and Damian Sandow. But at the time, in 99, they were just kind of throwing these teams in these random situations in the hopes that somebody would catch fire. And they did. It was Edge and Christian, the Hardys, the Dudleys. And then things were rolling. So while I completely agree with you that it's kind of a bunch of weird teams just taking up time on television on every show and nothing that looks long-term, part of me kind of has a hope for this. Like, you know, Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd doing the things that Evan Bourne probably should have been doing before he got injured, suspended, suspended, injured, and suspended. you know, making the most of it. Primo and Epico are kind of jobbers, but whatever. We're talking about Titus O'Neil, so that's more than we can say about his stupid ass in the last 3 years. I agree with you, but I'm hoping that we see more somewhere off in the distance. I'm hoping, yeah. And I'm hopeful.
No. Yeah. No, it's just like, they have the TV time. That's what's even more frustrating to me at this point. It's just like, you have the TV time. Stop this nonsense.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you guys obviously know that you kind of sort of want to do this, or at least you know you need to do this because you need to fill airtime.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm hoping that we just, a couple of these teams just catch fire and they'll get something long-term. So.
Yes. If the event takes place.
Real quick, R-Truth beats Lord Tensai. Seriously, is that how far the mighty have fallen just in an effort to get R-Truth a match on a pay-per-view against Antonio Cesaro with a side of fucking extra crispy bacon?
Seriously, that's what we're doing with Tensai? I feel bad for the guy because I think ever since they kind of – I feel like they kind of let him stop doing the I have to do all the Japanese moves because I went to Japan thing. And I feel like his matches have gotten a little bit – or not a little bit better. Like, I kind of like him. He's just kind of going power moves. And a guy
Nobody 6 foot eight and 360 pounds should be trying to do anything that looks remotely Japanese, high flying or amateur style or strong style or anything. He looked like a buffoon for months. So anything to get him away from that, to make him work something in WWE, because if he keeps going on down the road he's going right now, he's going to be worth about 12 yen by the time his contract runs out.
Yeah, no, it's just like, that's one where it's just like, the guy had to have said, and that's where it's just like, oh, come up with something for creative. Like, the guy had to have said, this is a terrible idea. Like, how does he not say, like, no, I'm wrestling completely different than I did over there. Like, what the hell do you not understand here?
Yeah. And it just doesn't, I mean, it doesn't look right. Like, were you ever going to ask Big John Studd to wrestle like a Japanese person? Probably not. It just looks silly in a pro wrestling context for a guy that big to be doing what he was doing. So anything to get him back in the mold of a monster is better.
You know something about the Big John Studd that I learned from my neighbors?
What's that?
Today, or yesterday?
Tell me.
The Big John Studd was nearly 8 foot tall.
Is that right?
That is right.
If by nearly 8 feet you mean he was on the other side of the tape measure from 7 feet, then I am just shocked and amazed. I can't believe it. Thank God for your neighbors, the Wikipedia of professional wrestling.
It was outstanding. I got a hoot out of that.
Lord, people are dumb. All right. Real quick, just to get through the rest of the show then, and this match was quick, so there isn't a whole lot to talk about, but Ryback beats Brad Maddox. No big shocker. Is Ryback really as over in person as he's starting to come, really starting to come across on TV?
Yeah. I would, if there were three reactions on the night that to me really stuck with me. The first is your boy Kofi Kingston. Like, I wouldn't say he was top, but I'm just going to say that, like, first thing in the evening, I'm like, wow, like, that was really big. Like, I'm kind of surprised. And then Cena and probably Ryback after that. Like, he, and, you know, as many people are into him as any, because frequent interviewee, Aaron McGuire, said, really, Columbus, you cheered Feed Me more than you chanted Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
Oh, no, that is kind of sad, isn't it? I love Aaron McGuire. He's so old school, it hurts.
And, you know, I can't, I sent a joke. I was like, well, there was a lot more polite applause for Jerry Lawler. Does that count?
Well, they didn't want to startle him.
Yeah, and he's not allowed to get everybody to scream puppies anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's kind of out of a Feed Me More type of easy gimmick to go with here.
Yeah, exactly.
To get people chanting.
Right. Just to skip over a couple of last things here, just to get to the point. Sheamus beats David Otunga, big deal. Miz and Kane, with Daniel Bryan in their corner, beat Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. So whoop-de-doo, Miz is going to be a part of the Survivor Series tag team on the babyface side, which is kind of strange, or whatever the hell side it is. But anyway, nonetheless.
That was only interesting in and of the fact that, to me, that I think we'd, or at least I had mentioned needing to freshen up the Miz somehow.
Yes.
And one way to freshen up is always to change sides.
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying that is one viable option.
Right. As the phrase goes, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So I'm going to go downstairs and use the cheese grater. And when that doesn't work, I'm going to beat myself over the head with a hammer. Yeah, we'll see if this works or not. Miz is a baby face. Something about that just seems a little squirrely. But the good thing he's got going for him is that he's incredible at PR. He can walk onto any set and any stage of any TV show or anything else and just kill an interview and cut promos and sell himself and sell the company and sell the show. So, you know, if they're trying to really give him a run as a baby face, I guess more power to everybody, but hopefully they've got an exit plan in case it all goes haywire.
Well, then hopefully they have another heel to replace him, because they still kind of need somebody in that department.
Right. Yeah, my God, seriously. Last but not least, John Cena beat CM Punk in a non-title match. They've gone from half-hour epics to great 20-minute matches to about 13 minutes on TV just to kind of get their way to Survivor Series. Were you excited for the match? What did you think of the match? What did you think of the post-match angle with Ryback?
Wow, and that is pretty crazy that is one part that I just honestly am just, like, completely brain farting on at the current moment, maybe because I haven't rewatched it yet now.
Or maybe it's because you sat through a 3-hour Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, no, if that was the other thing, like, it was nice being done at 11 o'clock, but it was still just like, oh my gosh, like, my legs were starting to get numb. I didn't stand up that much, really, during the whole thing. The seats were uncomfortable. The roofs beside me were, let's just say, not fitting in their chairs.
Yeah.
And that also came to me. Okay. So they were hogging up a little extra space, which made things uncomfortable. So, yeah, 3 hours into being completely uncomfortable, you're ready to go home.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, that's right, because, yeah, there's that whole exchange.
Yep.
yeah, whatever. I mean, with Foley down there, you knew that there had to be something. And it's still just the whole thing's a little strange, really, still, that Foley's this involved with the main event that he now doesn't have any involvement in
for
the pay-per-view. And, I mean, I guess that was one thing overall that, and maybe it just comes across better, but I don't remember that much Survivor Series stuff, like on the video board or anything like that.
Huh. Okay.
You know, I didn't feel like I saw all that much in that department. And it's just like, and I guess that was one of those angles. I'm like, well, they're not helping, or, you know, they're not really doing a whole lot. And it's just like, oh, John Cena beat CM Punk. So to me, you know, that's the automatic flag that Punk is definitely winning. Like, I was pretty sure it was going to happen anyway, but.
But you got to get that reciprocal win thing, because that's the way WWE operates.
Yep.
Yep. Crazy.
So,
Quick, here's a little piece of insight, by the way. Somebody that I worked with last year actually used to work for a an advertising agency, a marketing agency out of Los Angeles. And one of her clients for a short time was WWE. And their specific task was find out how we can convert people who attend our live events into people who purchase our pay-per-views. And what I just heard you say is that when you left Monday Night Raw, you weren't, like, overwhelmed with Survivor Series information at the live show. So either my coworker didn't do her job or WWE didn't take her advice. Because if they have a captive audience of 10,000 people that they're not pushing to the hilt Survivor Series for, like, hey, look at the great time you're having tonight. Spend $60, you'll have another great time on Sunday. Then there's a misstep there, I think.
Yep. I mean, everyone was there that's going to wrestle there, but I mean, I guess I just did not think of it first and foremost when I came walking out of there. Even with the whole with Cena pinning Punk.
Yeah.
And it kind of the funniest part about the post-match angle, honestly, was CM Punk on the outside. The guy is still just a master at making faces. Like, I wasn't paying attention really as much to Cena and Ryback tugging over the belt as I was. CM Punk is just so great. Like, I can't look away from him half the time.
That's a sign of a true professional.
You know, it's just like, because he's just, like, sitting there, he goes, like, he's looking back at the crowd, he goes, no, I'm not a dummy, I'm not walking in there right now. Like, he's just kind of, like, mouthing to the crowd.
Nice.
And then, like, after he, because it was the second time they dropped the belt, he just makes this sly-looking face, and him and Paul Heyman just kind of shuffle off,
right,
to just kind of get away from the situation. Like, I thought it was just they played it just perfectly.
That's fantastic. That's great. Like, you got a live crowd to please. You know, let Cena and Ryback do the stare down for the people at home, but you still got 10,000 people in the crowd to please. So that's so awesome. No wonder they count on Punk and Ryback Heyman for that matter. So that's cool. Very, very cool to hear about. Overall, did you have a good time?
No, those were easily the best seats I've ever had at an event there. Yep. And the only thing that I could have wanted more is to be closer to the middle of the row or in the front row so that I wouldn't have to worry about the people behind me, I guess, or the people in front of me.
Yeah.
But, It was good being a little elevated because we were just in the second row there. There in the first section. And it at least for WWE events, it pays, despite the fact that I shelled out a decent chunk of money to become a personal seat license holder there for the not playing any NHL games. Columbus Blue Jackets. I got quite a little discount on the tickets.
That's awesome.
I believe I paid 60% of the real value.
Wow, that's great.
So, and I mean, they offer that for other events, but this was the main one that I know. Like, cause I could have gotten like pre-sale for, Aerosmith is playing there later this year. Or next year.
Don't trip over your own feet to get to that show.
Yeah, but I figured it was a good example of I could have bought tickets before anyone else. I didn't want to buy tickets, so I didn't check to see if they were discounted at all. But
right.
I do get options like that where I can pre-buy some stuff, before.
Boy.
And they always do, we're getting another Raw April 26th, I believe, is what they said.
Okay.
And they have a regular Ticketmaster event that they always, that they push, because you can buy them up until Friday or something like that.
Yeah.
you can pre-buy them, but since I get a better deal through the Blue Jackets, I obviously go through them.
No doubt. That's great, man.
So, that was kind of nice, and I should probably just go ahead and buy the tickets for us here.
Work the system, buddy.
So, that was kind of nice, and I mean, it's always kind of fun being in a live show. Just being in the crowd is kind of fun.
Yep.
Because I just went ahead and played along. If everyone was booing around me, I just kept on booing.
Nice. Sometimes you just got to fall in line.
Yeah,
No matter how long you've been working on a wrestling blog for Smart Mark, sometimes you just got to fall in line with the rubes.
Yeah, it's just kind of fun.
Yeah.
They had enough people that they were bickering with around the area. I was not needed.
Yeah, very nice. God, people. All right, well, cool. I think that about sums it up. We talked about the show, hit a couple other high points in the news, so
yep. I'm going
to go ahead and wrap things up here. I can go through all the rundown of the where you can see us, hear us, read us, and all that sort of thing. If you found the show on iTunes, you can check out a whole lot more at stuntgranny.com. If you found the show on stuntgranny.com and you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, by all means, don't be a pussy. Go ahead and do that. We're all on Twitter in different ways. Jeremy is on at Granny Maze. That's Granny and then M-A-E-S. Of course, Dusty Giebink is on at Dusty Giebink. Kevin, who was on Stunt Granny last night, also uses DeFrango11, all otherwise known as 11.
I completely forgot during the night because I was checking on the Steelers stuff on ye olde Twitter. There were a couple of tweets that I sent out from my account, not realizing that I hadn't switched over.
Gotcha. No problem. We'll compile them all. It'll be great. In fact, I love the fact that we both mentioned Big John Studd.
Yeah,
clearly,
no,
he's on
that,
somebody's mind.
That was one of those things that I was just like, I didn't even have the heart to correct him.
Yep.
I just don't care. I don't care. That's just going on to the show.
That's funny. That's awesome. Otherwise, I think that's about it for shout-outs. So thanks for listening, and I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. So peace and chicken grease.
Okie doke, grandkids. I did not enjoy a sippy time beer after Raw last night, but I'm going to go ahead and do that currently. And I'll tell you what, do not get this stuff. I think it was let me see what this is, because this is an anti-recommendation. I bought a case of it for really cheap down at the Good Beer Store. And
and it turned out to be bad beer.
Napa Smith Brewery Lost Dog. It is not particularly good. And I still have 9 to drink. But it's like a case, like most of the time it's just good beer that's out of season. So it's just like, yeah, I'll just buy a case because it's usually good. Well, usually is the key word there. Sometimes things just go to hell in a handbasket, and that's what happened this time around. So, anyway, I'm going to go grab one of those. Have a good night, grandkids.